Today, brethren, is the first day of unleavened bread, a day of spiritual purging. By now, our houses has been all de-leavened. Every speck of leaven that we know has been removed, our bread, or we've gone under the covers and we've vacuumed and we've shaken off and we try to remove every piece of crumb that we have from our dwellings, our cars, our clothes. This date also is a significant throughout history as well. Just to give you a recap, in 1898, Spain declared war on the United States on this day after rejecting an ultimatum to withdraw from Cuba. That's what started the Spanish-American War, and Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders and came into play. Now it's ironic that the U.S. returns to Cuba on a more submissive role. So the title of my sermonette today, brethren, is just The First Day of Unleavened Bread. Simply stated. On this day, 21 years ago, our then pastor, Mr. John Ball, resigned from the Worldwide Church of God. On this day, he too was removing sin from his life. This day is iconic. It is an anniversary of which God dedicated this day as a sacred feast, symbolizing the removal of sin from our lives. Physically, the removal of leavening yeast in household and the eating of unleavened bread connects the scripture with the application. Now, many of us, or some of us, remember the days that people would go into a de-leavening exercise, I guess you call it. They'd get from one room all the way to the one end of the house to the other. I mean, that house is spotless. You can probably eat off the floors. And I remember days or brethren that they washed the trash cans outside and onto the curb. That they wanted it that de-leavened. But it means more than that, brethren. This is the plan, connecting the spiritual with the physical. Because it's no good if somebody cuts you off at traffic or somebody does something to you wrong, and you go back to your old ways. The work still needs to be applied. It's like building a bridge. You have the drawings and the specs. That's the design. God is the architect of his plan. He has the drawings and the specs. The exercise we go through removing leavening from our house shows that it's not easy to be removed. Because, you know, we go through this arduous motion of taking things out and going through our cupboards, and only to find maybe midway through the days that something was stashed, or we find that we didn't read right. I remember years ago that midway through the days of unleavened bread, I go in through my ice cream and I said, "Leaven? Well, cookies and cream." You know, things like that catches your eye. And the idea is it's leavening is stuck in between the hard places that you, in the farthest imagination you could think of, it's there. And the same thing with us. Same thing with us. We have these little things, you know, tucked into everywhere. A good example was I was invited to Yuma, Arizona several years ago, and the agents invited me to a Mexican restaurant. And the waitress came and she took our orders, and one of them said, "No, I've already eaten, but I'll have give me a plate of nachos." And says, in Arizona, it's pretty popular nachos. But give me white cheese, please. Just white, instead of yellow, white. And she said, yes. And before she left, he said, you know, make sure that it's, yeah. When she comes up, yellow cheese. And, you know, there wasn't just a few of us. There were several. I'd say maybe 15, 20. And the man says, "Ma'am," I said, "I asked for white cheese. Yeah. And I said, well, can you make it white cheese? Yeah. And she left. Never came back. So, and the man, and I seen this in the corner of his eye, he just laughed. And he just grinned. And he ate his nachos, and he said, and he left several so we can see. And he talked to the manager and said, sir, he says, I asked for white cheese. I know it's, but, and still came with yellow. Yes, I know. And he says, let me take care of that. So he left. Never saw him again. Now this, brethren, to most of people, you know, would say, all right, let me put this my carnal suit on. I'll give you a piece of my mind, you know, and would give me with a finger, you know. But this man exercised, you know, true calm and collective. And on his way out, he's grinning to the, and the cashier's telling him, well, did you find everything okay? And he said, no, I didn't. So the best way he could, he handled it the best way he could, and he'll never come back again. He told him that. So maybe that's the way God intends us to do. To sometimes adversity comes upon us when things don't go our way. See, it's the blueprints is one way, but when he's putting the bridge together, the materials, you know, everything comes together. But when you put it together, the bolts that come in, so wait a minute, these bolts, you know, have different hatches, and it shows the tensile strengths according to the bolts. This bolt won't hold that these I-beams. So you have to go back to the drawing board, and you have to redesign and fix it up. So that's what our character is going through with God's design plan. He's chipping away and making things work. Historically, the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was instituted by God as a remembrance of Israel's hasty departure from Egypt. A remembrance, brethren. Remembrance is an annual event, something like 4th of July, you know, Veterans Day. Those days were instituted so we can remember, you know. Let's go to Leviticus 23. We're going to go back to our roots, and it's something that we're very familiar with, but it's a memorial. We need to, if we do not go through these, brethren, we will forget. 23, verses 6 through 8. It says, on the 15th day of the month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days, you must eat bread without leaven. So for us Hispanics, bring on tortillas. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For in 7 days, present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Don't need to do that anymore. And on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Okay, that's an example of how it was instituted back then in Levitical times. Here, brethren, is the baseline for us. The baseline, there's no deviation. These days were not done away with. Just because Jesus died on the cross, like you may hear or may have heard. We observe these days as well, as we will not forget it. That's why it's told to us we must remember these days. Just like Veterans and Presidents' Days. Let's go to Romans 6:4, brethren. Just Romans 6:4. We're going to go on the other side of the pendulum. Romans 6. This is Paul. 6 and verse 4. Paul to Romans. He says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This pictures God's people, the church, forgiven Christians, remaining spiritually unleavened as they walk in the newness of life. Purging ourselves from that, especially these days. So there is a purpose to all this, brethren. It's just not a ritual we go through or something that we go through. Not only do we remove leaven from our house, we remove leaven from our cells, brethren. We work on our character when we do that. Sometimes we find ourselves doing and working on the same thing we did last year. And we know, we tell ourselves, I need to work on that more. I need to work on my character. I need to not fly off the handle so much. I need to work on that. 1,000, 2,000, that type of thing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 8. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 through 8. It says, get rid of the old leaven, that you may be a new batch without leaven, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, which we just went through, has been sacrificed. So that just knocks that Jesus hung on the cross theory right out the window. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the bread without leaven, the bread of sincerity and truth. So here Paul is explaining to the church of Corinth about how Jesus was the Passover. Purging the spirit together with the physical marries the two together, including which includes God's master plan. Remember the first habit of being an effective Christian, brother: reading the Bible. You've got to have the specs. Reading the Bible. From there, you are able to stand up for what is right, give the right advice, say the right thing at the right time, because you know what is right. From there, you make the right decision at the right time. Mr. Ball knew the Bible, and he knew he was right. I'm here to admonish you to continue to examine and purge yourselves. Sometimes when especially some of us that have been doing it for a while, you do certain things in the church, and like observing the feast days, and kind of, time and time again, it seems rudimentary. And in the past, people started grumbling and, people won't notice if I have some bread at the house. And before you know it, people not coming to observing the Sabbath or not observing the feast days. And before you know it, they drop off out of the church and then don't even observe anything. When you do that, brethren, you become what we call low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit for temptation, which eventually you will be plucked and devoured by the world that you have chosen to follow. In Acts 20, verse 6, Paul clearly tells the Greeks what he did after the days of unleavened bread. But let's go to Acts 20, verse 3. Ahead of that, where it says in Acts 20, verse 3, brother. Acts 20, verse 3. Give you some time to go there. It says, where he, Paul, stayed 3 months, breaking into the scenario here, because the Jews made a plot against him just as he was about to sail to Syria. He decided to go back through Macedonia. Now, this scripture differentiates Paul. He's telling us that he's differentiating himself from the Jews. Because Paul was a Jew, as we well know. But he's telling us now, no, I'm of Christ. I'm of Jesus Christ. Brethren, just as Paul, we are too. We are a different from mainstream religions. This is a day that empowers us to move forward. In order to get spiritually fit, we need to purge ourselves, to remain faithful, to remain cohesive. Again, these days were not done away with. The aforementioned happened 6 years after Jesus was crucified. So crucifixion did not do away with this. Brethren, observe these days, meditate on how to further improve your character, dare to be different, dare to be good, righteous and honorable before God. Fear God and keep his commandments.